I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
You serious?
Hello, welcome to another episode of How to Kill an Hour. Let's just jump straight into it. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you in advance for killing some time with us today. I'm joined by Mr. Midas. What's going on, brother?
Fam! Next gen!
I feel like that's...
Next generation is in my yard. You see what? Right now, I'm in my yard. And guess what's there? The next generation, fam.
The future. You're living in
2 weeks right now. 2 weeks before launch, next generation is in my yard.
That's right. I feel like we held a lot of heat after dropping an episode talking about Xbox, and people thought we would not be talking about any other kind of next gen console. Don't get it twisted here. We love gaming here at How to Kill an Hour, man. So it's only right that we cover the beast that is the PS5 in today's episode. It's going to be out on November the 12th in the United States, Japan, Canada, Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, and South Korea. 1 week later, on the 19th of November, the PlayStation 5 is going to be released to us here in the UK. But myself and Mr. Midas have got our hands on it, and we're going to be discussing that console today because this is a big moment in the gaming industry. Because
no, wait, I'm cutting you off, fam.
Come on, bro.
Do you know how much pain I felt when they announced the PlayStation 5 is coming out a week after in the UK? A week, fam. You remember when we was younger, consoles used to come out in Japan and then we'd have to wait like a year or 6 months for them to come out. Like, you don't understand that pain because you don't play JRPGs. But you know when you play JRPGs, they come out in Japan and you got to wait for the English translation. So you see Persona 5. So everyone check out my Persona 5 Royal tips video on how to kill an hour. Video is sick. Fam, I had to wait like 6 months for that to come out and be translated in the UK. And now you're doing that to me with a console. That pain. Anyway, carry on.
It's a bit 90s that, isn't it? It's a bit early 2000s having to wait because we know the consoles are here. We know they're ready. But the fact that we have to wait a few days, I feel like, why are we being penalized for living in the UK? We have the worst weather out of all of the countries that I just mentioned. United States, all right, let's forget the East Coast when it's bad. And also, they're having a hard time. So let's not talk about them right now. Japan, good weather. Canada, yeah, it's cold, but they're ready for it. Mexico, tequila will land. Australia, come on. New Zealand, South Korea. Nah, man, we should have had it a week earlier.
I think that's COVID, though, to be honest with you. Yeah, I think it's got to be COVID. It's got to be COVID.
Hopefully. Well, it's going to be available in two different flavors, like most next gens are. We've got a disc drive and we've got a digital-only version of the PS5. I got a disc drive version. Which one did you get?
Oh, 100% disc drive. I am a serial hoarder, fam. Like, I've got all of my PS4 games. I've got like a whole shelf full of PS4 games. Fam, I spent like almost $3 on a Final Fantasy VII Remake Special Edition. You think I ain't playing that game on my PS5, even though I platinumed it? You're mad, fam. Jeez. I needed that disc version.
The disc version. Yeah, man. Well, I'll just give the cost to the listener first. The disc drive is going to cost $449 and the digital is going to be $359, which again, they've tried to give us a slightly more reasonably priced version of the console to make sure that people that want to get into the next gen can do for a little cheaper.
Yeah, I don't even agree with that because I feel like Xbox did that. Sony didn't do that. Sony just basically took off the cost of that piece of hardware and like, do you know what? We'll buy that because you're going to pay for all of our games directly from us. Because what a lot of people don't know is retailers take a percentage of that game. Sony doesn't get like the full cost of that game, where if you buy it on the store, they get 100%.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point, actually. And also in the purpose of being objective, I do want to say though, the difference between the consoles in terms of their performance is very minimal. It's just one that has a disc drive and one doesn't. So there is a little bit of a performance difference between the Xbox S and the Xbox, whereas with the PlayStation, it's very much the same.
Yeah, which is it's literally hardware, isn't it? It's literally just a hardware difference.
Literally. So that's something to think about because, you know, yeah, there is a little bit of a price difference in the digital versions. I mean, and that's something that I think is going to be a continuing conversation. I don't know if me and Mr. Minus are at risk of sounding old school because we're just like, yeah, we want the disc. Kids are like, what? All right, old. You old youths, you want to have to hold your game. But you know what? Cool. Whatever.
Well, big up friend of the show, Joe Grand, because Joe Grand's always like, fam, what are you talking about? Man don't need this. Man, everything's digital and man's digital this and I'm like, Joe, I get it. But yeah, man's old school. I've got this. I like my this. I like to see them up on my DVD stand. Yes, I still have a DVD stand. Yes, man's old out here. But yeah, I like it, fam. And to be honest with you, I think I come from that because before I worked in gaming, like I came from that thing where you buy a game and then when you finish it, you trade it in for a different game. So that having that physical element still makes sense to me, fam.
So there's the Computer Exchange Gang, aka CEX. I feel like that's what we're part of, or the Electronics Boutique Gang, where you used to actually picking up your game was like a physical experience. Do you know what I mean? But you know, now we're in that digital age. We've got that broadband. We've got that 5G. We've got fast internet. So it's very feasible for you to just own a digital only console. Quick digression. I was playing Warzone the other day with one of my mates, and he was complaining that his internet wasn't working. And I was like, but how are you playing? He tethered up to his phone. We really are living in that life.
And he must have been eating out his data.
I asked him, what was the limit? And he was like, unlimited. I was like, two, right? Because if not, you are in a real bad place.
But you know, do you know, like, even though you have unlimited, it's still fair usage.
Yeah.
So you're only able to use so much unlimited data, which a lot of people don't read in their small terms.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you an update of how he gets on. With things. So let's talk about the hardware then for the PS5. I think because we're talking about this after we spoke about the Xbox, there's probably going to be more comparison in this episode, but that's just because of the timings that we've got things. Do you know what I mean? So I feel like in the episode where we spoke about Microsoft console, at the time, you know, we were just talking about Microsoft, but now we've got our hands on the PS, we can kind of do a little bit of comparing and contrasting. I feel like there's room for a full compare and contrast in the future after a bit of playing Midas. So let's jump in with a hard drive. What's interesting is PS5's also got an SSD. 825 gigabytes is the official capacity of it. It's an interesting number, isn't it?
Yeah, it's because I think basically they are doing that the operating system, I'm assuming that it would have been like a terabyte, but the operating system and everything that it needs takes it under.
Yeah, yeah.
What a lot of people don't realize is a lot of the times, like when you've got like a terabyte hard drive, you don't have a terabyte hard drive because whatever your operating system is on that, but companies just don't advertise it like that.
Exactly. It's like when you get a phone. It happens with your phone as well. Like when you get your phone, if it's a 64 gigabyte or 128 or 256 gigabyte, you go open your phone up, check what free memory you have when you first get your phone before you put one app on it, and you know the firmware's taking up some space. But they've also got the SSD solution for the PS5, which, long story short, means that games don't need to duplicate data, which means that sizes of patches and games are smaller. So no more 50 gig plus games, maybe. I don't know. It depends on the size of the game. But at the moment, I know a lot of people are complaining about COD updates because they are magnanimous, right? They're enormous. So
I know we're not talking about PC, but yeah, the latest COD, to have the latest COD on your PC right now, fam, is 250 gig.
Mad, isn't it? It's mad.
For one game, you know. Obviously, it's got different parts to it, but 200 and... That was half of man's first PS4.
If you're listening to this in the year 2030 and you're laughing because you have more than that, yeah, on your little pen drive, yeah, this is 2020, okay?
But man's got more than that on their watch.
That's a lot, yeah, a terabyte is a lot at this moment in time, yeah, and for a quarter of a terabyte to be taken up by a game is a little bit unreasonable. So with these SSD solutions, we're going to have smaller games and faster loading times. I think everyone's going to be real keen for the... How quick is it to turn on your console and start playing your game time? Do you know what I mean? Like starting a stopwatch and getting to playing the game. I think that's going to be a big question. PS5 promises for this to be a lot quicker. Do you know what I mean? And devs mean that we're going to have smaller games as well. So I'm happy for that. I'm cool. It's a big, powerful feature. I feel like PS were talking a lot more about it. They showed us the user experience of the software and they showed us getting in and out of games very, very quickly, which... I'm looking forward to, man, because to be fair, I don't like hanging around. I don't like wasting time. I like to kill hours, but I like to kill them doing what I want to do. Do you know what I mean?
All right, big man Ting, fam, you've just completely gone past the elephant in the room.
Go on.
The PS4 is, excuse me, the PS5 is huge.
It's literally
huge, 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 fam.
It is... enormous.
It is a Maca console, like physically.
Centimeters by 10 centimeters. 26. So that's 35 tall, 10 width, and 26 in kind of, yeah, the other way. 26 in depth. It depends, wait. It's 39 tall, 26 wide, 10 in depth. There you go. That's why I'm only allowed to put together IKEA. I can't do any other measuring. It also weighs a bit, you know. 4.5 grams.
It's Maca, fam. But I like the look of it. Like, I think it's really futuristic. Because you remember we was talking about Xbox doing one thing and PlayStation. Yeah. PlayStation right now, out of all the companies, is probably doing the most traditional thing. They're like, this is a next-gen console for next-gen hardware. And I think they had to build something that just looks so different and next. Because so many people bought the PS4. Like, the PS4 is like one of the top three selling consoles of all time. They're like, if we're going to have people that are not just the hardcore people thinking, why do I need this? Like, why is it different from the PS4? Fab, everything about it, like the visuals, the DualSense controller, it's just so different. But you know what?
Yeah.
I like it.
We will get onto the controller because I think that's a big standout point that I wasn't expecting to be standout when I got my hands on the physical of the device. But do you know what, Midas? I'm going to compare this to a car situation. So we've done some reviews of cars, some electric cars that we're going to be dropping in a few weeks on our YouTube, right? And one of them was an electric vehicle that was relatively high-end by a big German manufacturer, right? And one of the things people said to me about it was, it don't really look electric. And then I drove another car, which was a smaller electric car. Like, it was quite reasonably priced. And people were like, yeah, that looks futuristic. Isn't it weird, yeah, how we want things to look futuristic sometimes? Do you know what I mean? Like,
electric car now.
People think Tesla, don't they? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's very true. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. So if you drive up to somebody and your car looks like a normal petrol vehicle and you're like, yeah, that's electric. They're like, oh. What, no massive screen in it, like no super LED light. So with the PS5, I think you're right. They wanted to make a statement piece. And what's really funny as well is like Microsoft went from light to dark and PS went from dark to light with their color scheme, which is interesting. Physically though, the console, it's got this really interesting texture, which I don't know if you're going to like. If you didn't like the texture before in the last episode, have you noticed the little fine prints that they've got on the console? The little...
It's sick. It's like little PS symbols. It's sick.
That is such attention to detail. So there's these little like textured areas. And we're going to talk about it on the control pad as well. Textured areas of the console. And when you look really closely, they're little X's, O's, squares and triangles, which is... that's quite impressive, man. That's quite... It looks pretty cool. It's a sturdy device. There's a stand on it as well, which I tricked around with when I was doing the unboxing. But to be fair... I don't know if PlayStation will like me saying this, but you don't actually need the stand. The stand does make it more sturdy, but I stood it up without the stand.
Fam, the stand is basically pointless. You don't need it. Even when you put it on the side, Like, yeah. I was watching the teardown on PlayStations to, because I got put on the side because it's just too big to stand up. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, it doesn't even, you don't even lock it in. You literally just put it on top of the sand.
Yep.
Like, so it's not needed. I think it's more just a balancing thing.
Yes.
So, because if they didn't do it and somebody's 500, almost 500 playing console drop, people be cussing, innit?
The one, it's not the one. And, you know, as high tech as technology is, nothing's going to take tumbling over like that. So yeah, physically, I mean, it's a big statement piece. I don't know what we're allowed to talk about in terms of turning it on, but in terms of what you can see online with them turning it on, they've jiggled things around with regards to the color scheme on the console. So it lights up in quite a cool way. I think Xbox has gone for a kind of low-key look and PlayStation has gone for a big statement. And to be fair, I like both, but the PS5 is big. I'll give it that. In terms of what it can do, the console itself, you've got the backwards compatibility with a lot of PS4 games due to basically a lot of the games being based on the PS4 architecture, which is very easily relates to what the PS5 can do. They will need to do some tests because there's going to be a rise in performance, but there'll be some bits they need to rejig around for some of the games. So I think over the next few weeks, we will see which games you'll be able to enjoy on PS5. And I love the fact that PlayStation quite open with saying that they are still going to be dropping games on both the current gen and the next gen at the same time. So that's nice for you. If you feel like you have to wait for a little bit longer to save, you're not going to be locked off from all of the new titles as well, man. So,
And some big titles as well, like Spider-Man, Horizon Zero Dawn, like some big titles you're going to be able to get on your PS4.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm honest, Midas, like we spoke about this before, one of the games that kind of we experienced together and whilst we kind of started working together more was the last Spider-Man game.
And Spider-Man does whatever a spider can.
Yeah, we caught up in E3 and like we had a real good time over there. Enjoyed a shandy over at E3. Can we tell that story real funny, real quick?
So after we played
Spider-Man, didn't it?
Yeah, after we played Spider-Man at E3 and it was like a long day, we decided to go to a bar across from E3 and we went upstairs. It was like one of them open air bars in LA and I was so tired. I didn't want anything strong. So I just said to the guy, can I have a shandy? And he's like, a what? I was like, a shandy. And he looked at me like I just asked for crack, but obviously I don't smoke crack. So.
Proper like Latin man in it as well. So he's like,
yeah.
What do you mean, man? And I was like, he's a shandy. That's how he said it. A shandy. What is that?
And then when I explained it to him, it's like beer and lemonade. He looked at me like I just slapped him in the face. And he was like, beer? You put lemonade in your beer? And he was so vexed. He wouldn't even make me the drink. He just gave me the two separate things and made me do it myself.
You know, and he like mumbled to himself as he turned around. He went, the only thing I want in my beer is beer, man. I was like, all right, bro.
What is?
Yeah, man. But it was that day that we experienced Spider-Man. And I remember saying vividly to you, like, I enjoyed that so much. Am I just gassed at Spider-Man? Because I'm at E3, I'm in LA, the sun's out, we're having a great time, we're doing all this coverage. So it was a big thing for me when we got back to the UK and we finally got to play the final version of this game. And it really, I'd say, it's got to be in my top three games for that generation for the PS4. And there's great titles out there.
Fam, Spider-Man is the most fun I've had in a game since I was a kid. Like, so much fun. Like, I enjoy video games all the time, and obviously you have fun playing them, but you have different experiences. Like, for example, Marcus wouldn't say The Last of Us was a fun experience for him because he was just shook and screaming every time.
You gotta throw that shade.
every time a clicker went for him. But Spider-Man was so fun. Do you know how fun it was? I didn't realize until I completed the game or I was near finishing that there was fast travel. Because swinging around New York felt so good, I didn't even need to use a fast travel.
Do you know what's interesting? When you talk to people about Spider-Man, and Joe Grind, our boy, he said this as well. And this is a very interesting set of words. He says, the way it feels when I was swinging around the city. And I realize I talk about it as well. When I was swinging around the city, and you're like, when I was web slinging around the city, we're not really Spider-Man. We are just sitting there holding a control pad, looking at a screen, playing. But they have managed to make
talk it for yourself.
Immersive.
Talk for yourself. Don't tell me I'm not Spider-Man, fam. Don't tell me I'm not Spider-Man, fam. I'm Miles Morales, you know.
But it's true. It's true, like that. They did suck you into the game and they immersed you in such a way that you wanted to. I mean, you were Spider-Man. It was wicked. And like, and you know, like, it was down to the little bits of detail. Like, I remember us speaking about the sound. Like, as you start to web sling, you start to hear more dramatic music as you start to move. As you can hear Spider-Man's dialogue change when he's exerting himself. So when he's not moving, he's having a conversation, calm and relaxed. When he's swinging around, he's like talking at the same time. It's awesome, man. And that game, this is a hard one for me to say, but it's probably my favorite superhero game. And I love the Arkham series to death. Yeah, I love all of them. But Spider-Man was just something different. There's something different to web slinging in terms of using, you know, your gauntlet to swing around. You get me? But, you know, that's how
I feel like Arkham was the one who started that mechanics. That everyone steals the mechanics from that game for fighting. Yeah. But Spider-Man just took it to another level.
It was awesome, man. Great game. So so crazy. That game's been out for ages and we're still so excited about it. So a big release, a big exclusive is the new Spider-Man. And yeah, man, and what's great is there was great writing in the last Spider-Man game where Miles and Peter met up and you saw how there was a crossover of Spidey powers towards the end. And now I feel like we're going to step into a game and really be able to see what the PS5 can do whilst playing a great game. So this could be a title that really helps to get PlayStation ahead of the race, right?
Yeah, 100%. This game is everything. I know most people in How to Kill an Hour are in the clue, but just for anyone who doesn't know, so Miles Morales is a Black and Latino character, and he's basically a Spider-Man in another universe. So in the Marvel comics, Spider-Man died in a specific universe, and then Miles became a new Spider-Man. Where in the game, it's a different story. There's still the two Spider-Men, but that's just to kind of give you some clarity. And like, as a gamer, like, we don't always have the best representations. Like, as a Black man, we don't always have the best representations in game. And to have like the first exclusive on the PlayStation 5, taking the most incredible engine and building upon a game that was just almost perfect as it is, and having that representation and it just working, fam, I'm so gassed.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And here's what I hope, because I've not got my hands on the game yet. I'm very close to it, but I've not got my hands on the game yet. Here's what I hope I get from the game. I don't know. Have you played it yet, Midas? Because I know that we could. Have you had your hands on it yet?
Yeah, I played a little bit.
Okay, cool. So what my concern is it's not concern. Here's what I hope they don't do. I hope they don't change too much, because it was such a good game, The Last Spider-Man. I feel like, as long as they keep the story interesting, maybe throw in some more moves, a couple of new ways to take down the bad guys, some great bosses, some other people that are from the Marvel canon, I will be happy. There's a tendency sometimes for them to improve a game with extra features that can take away. Now, Insomniac, the developers, they're very good at what they do. So my money's kind of heading towards the direction of them not fluffing up. Without spoiling the game for us, are we going to be disappointed? Is there a lot that's changed in the game, or is it as familiar as I want it to be?
Well, so far it's very familiar, but people need to realize that Miles Morales has different powers from Spider-Man. Yeah. So from traditional Peter Parker Spider-Man. So he's got different powers that is going to really be cool. But something that's gassed me, I haven't experienced yet and I can't wait to experience it, is Into the Spider-Verse was such a great movie, and they've actually put that suit and that animation style from the Into the Spider-Verse movie into the game. And I don't even want to play the game normally now. I just want to play it with that art style and that kind of glitchy mechanics. Fam, mind blown.
Amazing. You know what? And it's stuff like that that kind of makes the game. I remember in the last one that you could play with the Spider-Man, the movie version. Was it the Amazing Spider-Man suit they had? They had a few different suits that you could play. But yeah, man. Oh, that's sick. That's awesome, man. All right. Well, I look forward to playing that. There are some great PS5 titles that are on the way as well for next gen. Obviously, Spider-Man's going to be a really big deal. They've got God of War, Ragnarok, which, you know, God of War, you know, it's a another magnificent game. So we're going to wait to see what that kind of brings to the table. What else they got? Oddworld. I've not played that. Soulstorm. I mean, if you're a fan of Abe's Odyssey and that sort of stuff, that's kind of for you. And that's kind of what I've been across. Have you played anything else yet on the PS5? Because I've just done Hardware at this moment in time. I've got to be 100% honest with you. I'm about to fire it up. But yeah, I have just done Hardware at the moment. I've just done the unboxing today, Midas.
So the Astro Bot or Astro Boy? That's really Astro cool. World,
yeah.
Yeah, the Astro World, that's basically like, it's basically a tech demo, but it's really, really cool. Very pretty, very colorful. It really teaches you how the controller works and the active triggers and stuff like that is really cool. But you know what, Marcus? Some of the games I'm most excited about right now, and this has never happened to me at the start of a generation, because usually at the start of a generation, it's like slim pickings. Yeah. But I'm really excited for some of like the third parties to play on my PS5, because like I cannot wait to play Cyberpunk 2077. Now, when we came out of E3, Marcus asked me a question. He said, Spider-Man or Cyberpunk? Can you remember what answer I gave you, Marcus?
I feel like you said Spider-Man. Did you say Cyberpunk?
I said to you, Cyberpunk feels like a next generation game. It doesn't even feel like it's from this gen. Like what I saw blew my mind. And I said it would 100% be Cyberpunk. But the only reason I'm going to choose Spider-Man is because I actually got to play it. And fam, I can't wait to play that on the PS5.
Yeah. I mean, I'm going to be honest with you, Midas. I hope that you get delivered what you get delivered, but I'm getting a little bit worried now, because in the industry, we're seeing these stories about the staff having to work really hard and there's slight pushbacks, which isn't a big deal. But my concern with Cyberpunk is that it's getting so hyped now. I'm scared of overhyping it. Does that make sense? Like I'm scared of expecting so much from it that when we play it, it might not live up to its expectations. And there's so much resting on them putting more and more into this game that I feel like pressure's on to just make it an everything kind of game. And I really hope it delivers what you want it to deliver. But at the same time, bruv, I felt this kind of hype before for titles. And it's the same dread that I felt when I played Spider-Man. And I said to you, bruv, am I just excited now because I've just played it? Do you know what I mean? And then obviously Insomniac proved us wrong with Spider-Man. But I'm a little bit concerned with Cyberpunk, you know?
I completely understand what you're coming from, but there's certain companies that I just have such a faith in from playing their titles. So say they Project Red, like what they did with the Witcher series is just incredible. And like Naughty Dog, like what they've done with Uncharted and The Last of Us. Like there's certain companies that I've got that faith in. But I keep it a buck. There's other ones that I don't. Like, I can't wait for Assassin's Creed Valhalla, but I'm nervous about that game.
Yeah. I mean, well, look, we've had hot Assassin's Creeds. We've had ones that aren't as hot, right? And I think, again, with a game that's got, it's kind of like what I just said about Spider-Man. Look at everything I'm relating back to Spider-Man today, but like, it's kind of like saying, With Assassin's Creed, because it's been around for so long, how do you keep it familiar without being repetitive? And that's the thing. That's how do we make sure that we keep it being awesome and kick-ass? And half of that is making sure that it takes place in a different time. So Vikings is one thing. But then how do you make it a familiar Assassin's Creed game, but without making it feel like I've just played the sixth Assassin's Creed in a row and I'm just doing the same tasks in a different world? So that's the challenge with Assassin's Creed. And if they succeed in making it a fun game that is true to the lore of Assassin's Creed, but also being different and you can do kick-ass Viking stuff, which, bruv, it really is looking like you can do, then I think that could be a winner for us as well. It's that kind of God of War vibe, that Witcher vibe. Do you know what I mean? Like you can get out, and pillage. Pillage up her place.
Man said pillage up her place, you know. Another big title coming out is Demon Souls.
Yeah, man.
Now I'm not one of these Dark Souls, Demon Souls guys. Like the first game that I played from the series was Sekiro, which not the like that kind of hard game. And fam, playing that game felt like Debo from Friday was bullying me.
They're not easy, are they?
Fam, they're not easy is like a crazy understatement. They're like hitting your head against a brick wall.
You can get stuck on bosses for a very long time. And I think that's, you get such a great sense of achievement when you do clock those bosses. But the frustration I have felt in this style of action role-playing game is unlike anything else. But I'll be honest, bro, I struggle getting into games like this because I know that I'm going to get to a point where I get so frustrated, I want to just turn off the console and go for a walk and probably a little cry inside, innit? I'm not crying on the outside, but I'm crying on the inside.
Honestly, if I didn't work in gaming, I wouldn't even play it. Me playing it is like, because I work in the industry, I'm like, I should be able to experience it and give my opinion in it. But in terms of playing it out of enjoyment, fam, I don't like to feel like my head's being hit against a brick wall.
Well, that's what you're going to get from that game. But you know what? It's popular for a reason. So I reckon that's a decent one for them to have in their roster of games. Anything else you want to talk about in the games side of thing before I start talking about Spider-Man again? No, I won't do it. I've done my job there.
Fam, I love Spider-Man. I'm just really impressed of the array of titles that we've got for this next gen. And I'm talking if you go on PlayStation or Xbox. Obviously, PlayStation's more me because I'm a big Sony guy and Spider-Man is only exclusive on PlayStation's consoles. But to have like Watch Dogs Legions, where you can basically play in London, that we said Valhalla, Cyberpunk, we've got a new Call of Duty coming out, you got NBA 2K21 that's having like super updates for both gen, you got Dirt 5, like there's so many titles that you can play on your next gen console. And even though they're not all brand new next gen games, fam, what these consoles do from taking them from their original to up in their specs is incredible. And it's a good time to be a gamer, man.
Yeah, it is. And PS Plus as well, which is like their kind of version of free games where you get games to download every month. They've also got Middle-Earth Shadow of War, which is a really popular game. Which is quite an interesting one. Like, it's really interesting. The way PlayStation do it is you get a drop of games every month and you can download them for free and you have them forever. And there's been some gems. I've got to admit, PlayStation's done well this year. Fall Guys was a big one that did really well. Wasn't a very high, like, intensive graphics game, but it was a great game to just play with the mates. You know, they've had Fallout 4 on there. They've had God of War. They've had, you know, loads of great stuff on the PS5 you can access if you get the PS Plus collection this time around as well. So they really want to make sure that you can take advantage of great gaming that's been upscaled on their consoles. Next thing I want to get into, Midas, is just a couple of bits that plug in or you use with the PS5. Let me rush through a few of them real quick before we get to one of the things that might be, you know, the PS de resistance. Yeah, we got the Pulse 3D headset, which has been developed so gamers can experience 3D audio and keep party chat flowing. So they say it's got crystal clear voice capture and dual noise cancelling headphones. I look forward to trying those. Charging station where you can charge two DualSense controllers. I always have a dual charger because I like to rinse one control pad, charge it while I'm playing with the other control pad. Yes, that's how much I game sometimes. The HD camera is going to let you add yourself to gameplay, broadcast smooth and sharp HD video. That's great if you want to stream to Twitch direct from your PS, which I think is a big deal. The more they can let you customize your Twitch stream and use your PS to do that, that's great. And also they got a media remote, which will allow users to conveniently control movies and streaming services because, you know, they also want you to use your PS as a media hub. But the big thing is the new controller on the PS5. They've put a lot of work into tweaking from the last PS to this one, right? I feel like this is one of the biggest changes in controller design.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Yeah, yeah, this is... PlayStation's always traditionally kept the same kind of controller. Like, they've
yeah.
Yeah, they're pretty the same. The only difference is the original PlayStation controller didn't have the dual thumbs.
Yeah. Yeah,
and the dual sticks, because we were still using D-pads back then. Because Nintendo, who invent everything, was the first one to have the dual pad and the joystick on the controller. So yeah, they've always kind of just been like a small alterization of the original controller. But this is some space. Fam, this controller looks like it should be in an episode of the Jetsons.
It's proper futuristic. It matches the console perfectly. It's also a little bit bigger as well, just like the console as well. But it is, like, the color scheme matches. It's got, is it like longer, shall I say? I don't know how to explain it. Slightly longer?
Yeah, it's weird. It's bigger, but it, like, if you look at it, it looks much bigger, but when you hold it in your hand, it doesn't feel excessively bigger. So yeah, like I said to you, I'm a big PlayStation guy. When I started playing the Series S, that controller felt alien to me because I'm not used to holding a Xbox controller, where this, even though it's completely different from a PlayStation controller, it still feels like a PlayStation controller. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know how they do it, but it still feels like a DualShock, but it just has... It just feels like a DualShock that got some money.
It does. It feels very solid and substantial in design, and they've packed it through. They've packed it with some pretty cool stuff. I mean, for example, the grips of the controller, this fine detail again that you see on the console. This is something that is very... It's a finesse that I like. The grips of the controller are very grippy, and if you look close at the grips, again like the console, they're little X's, little squares, little circles, little triangles. That's class, man. I do like that. I don't know why that rubs me up the right way so much. I know it doesn't do anything in terms of performance, but don't you think that's just a nice little touch?
It's a sick touch, but I want to know how much of my budget went on that shaping.
Enough, because that's not a cheap print, you know. That's not a cheap
print. No cheap print.
Exactly. And also, they've got the create button of the controller. It's like their new version of the share button on the PS4. Basically, you can use create to share content. We're going to discuss more about how you can do that once we're allowed to talk more about that on the PS, on the final version.
I tell you something I wanted to ask you. How do you feel about the light bar? Because the light bar is no longer at the back of the controller and it's now come to the front.
I think it looks pretty cool. I mean, it's a light bar, isn't it? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't get me wrong, it looks super cool and it looks awesome, but it's, for me, it's like, you know, how does it feel in my hands? More important. So basically what Midas is saying, like, where the home button is on the PS controller, there's like a glow around it, which I think looks pretty awesome, man. It fits in with everything. It's cool. Like, yeah, man, I'm here for it. Yeah,
I love it. I think it looks super futuristic. One thing I am disappointed is on my old PS4, I used to have, like, where my light bar was customized. Yeah. So my PlayStation actually said Midas. So every time I played it, it customized said Midas. So I've lost that. but I'm still, I think the new controller looks sick and I like the way the light bar looks at you. What's something that's very interesting?
You can't have your customized controller anymore with your name on it.
Yeah. And what's really interesting is the PlayStation 4 controllers don't work with the PS5.
Yeah, that's interesting, isn't it? But, you know, I don't know if my PS3 controllers work with my PS4, if I'm honest with you, bruv.
How many PS4 controllers do you have? Because I think I've got 5.
I've got 3. 2 on the charge all the time and a third one that just sits there in case. You've got 5, yeah? Jeez.
Yeah, well, I got 5 of them.
You have to get on eBay with those, bruv. You get me? Someone's going to be someone out there with a Midas controller. But yeah, you know, it's one of those things. I mean, I guess they want us to move forward and experience everything that they've put into their games with a new control pad. If we didn't have to get PS5 control pads, we're not going to, bro. Do you know what I mean? So we're not going to be able to experience all this extra stuff that they've added on, like the extra haptics, the rumble that they've added to the control pads, where they're saying that with the haptic feedback, you're going to be able to feel... Well, you can tell me because you've been playing with Astro, but you feel more... Is it like more...
Fab.
More emphasis?
Fam.
Yeah, go on.
You haven't played Astro. You don't even know...
Yeah, that's what I'm asking you.
No, you can blow on the controller. It has... I don't know what it is, fam, but in Astro, you have to do something and you blow on the controller and it senses your blowing.
Do you know what I think they're using for that? I think they're using a microphone that's built into the controller.
Oh, so could you imagine, like, if you're playing a game like The Last of Us and zombies come and you have to blow out the campfire and you literally have to blow on the controller?
Yeah, that sounds sick. That sounds
sick.
That sounds so sick. Yeah, I'm definitely here for that.
Back to your question. So yeah, it feels like different kind of grips.
Okay.
So just like how the Nintendo Switches, Joy-Cons, you can feel like it feels like it's got different balls and different weights. So you've got that, but it almost feels like the controller. So when you just press it, like, it's like you're just giving it a small hit and then you have to pull it or push it down really hard to get more out of it. So the only way I can really describe it is, you know, like the push down on your clutch.
Yeah.
Some people only drive automatics, but like that push back, that push down you have on your clutch where you have to either, like, if you're getting to biting point, you only put a little bit, or like if you're stopping really quick, you need to put all of that pressure on your clutch. That's probably the easiest way to describe it.
Interesting. So it's like, that's a whole new dynamic of gaming. So like with these haptic feedbacks, you kind of, and also you're talking about the L2 and the R2 buttons as well, the adaptive triggers as well, because
that's exactly what I'm talking about. L2 and R2.
So like in games, like if we have another Tomb Raider, we'll be able to pull back bows and stuff like that, arrows in bows, shooting, I don't know, sniper rifles and different types of guns. You're going to have to use, like, you can use different triggers. That's interesting, man. That's a whole different dynamic of gaming. I think that's probably why they don't want us using PS4 controllers on the PS5 as well. Quickly back to the mic as well. Interesting one that they added there. I mean, I'm sure it will sound fine. I presume, from what I know about sound, I'm always probably going to want to use a headset and microphone because I'm mashing up the control pad with my fingers. So I don't know how the microphone's going to stop the sound of my fingers busting up all over the control pad. But I suppose it's there, though, if you need to talk to people. It's cool. You know what I mean?
I found weird was I was listening to it with headphones.
Yeah.
But sound effects were still coming through the controller.
Sick.
So it's dope. But if you're like playing in an environment where, for example, if a kid's playing, say you're playing in a front room and someone's working while someone else is on the TV, like I wonder how, if it is you just turn that off, if you mute it, like how that affects it. Because obviously if you're playing through the TV speakers, it becomes an extra speaker, so it becomes dynamic. But when you're playing with headphones, you're not listening to anything other than what's coming on your headphones, so it kind of makes it a bit redundant.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah, man. We'll have to see. I reckon you can just flip those off in settings at some point. I think Astro is probably really just trying to show you everything that it can do. But yeah, that's the PlayStation. I think, have we covered everything? What have I missed?
Fam, let's just say we are in the next generation and we are two very lucky, hardworking men who are able to experience it for you. And I'm super excited for everybody else to kind of get hands on in the next generation. And I'm happy there's so many different type of titles for people to check out. But one thing that I want to make super clear, and Marcus kind of spoke about this earlier, 2020 has been a very difficult year, and I don't want anyone to feel pressured to have to get into the next generation. Like, there's plenty of amazing games that still on the PS4 and the Xbox that you can still play. And don't worry, How to Kill an Hour, we've got you covered with all of the new gen content for you to see.
And also current gen stuff as well. We ain't gonna leave you behind and just start talking about, you know, next gen all the time. And what's good to know is both Microsoft, PlayStation, all the developers are still releasing titles for the current gen, and they're not trying to leave you behind either. They want to make sure that you can transition over when you're ready as well, man.
Exactly.
Anyway,
they want that money, fam. They want that moolah.
They want that paper. Where can we find you online?
You can find me at Mr. Midas Games, Midas spelled M-I-D-A-S. And I'm on all of the sites, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. I think I'm on TikTok, but I'm not cool enough to dance like the kids.
I ain't dancing on the timeline yet. Not yet, anyway. I'm at Marcus Bronzy on all social medias, MarcusBronzy. And of course, How to Kill an Hour is How to Kill an Hour everywhere as well. There's plenty of ways to kill some time out there. Thank you for killing some time with us. Also, before we go, don't forget to make sure you check out Midas's unboxing and full review of the PlayStation 5. Ours is going to be out as well, man. So check them both, man. Make sure you give us a like and subscribe there on the Tube of the U as well. All right. See you next time. Bless.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.